Well, you know, when I first came to Christ in 1971, I was reading at that time the Gospel according to Matthew, and I was in chapters 10 and 11. And let me tell you why. The man who led me to Christ, Bob Eckhart, had given me a Bible, which I still have to this day, by the way. And he said, will you promise me you'll read this? And I said, okay. Well, I didn't know where to start, so I started at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. I said, okay, that's cool, why not? And but then I got in Genesis to the place where so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. And I'm like, good grief, how long does this go on? So I said, maybe I should read the New Testament. So I went into the New Testament and I didn't know where to start. So I started again at the beginning, which was the perfect place for a Jewish person to start because the Gospel of Matthew is written for Jewish people. That's why so often in this Gospel, as in contrast to the other three, you'll find Matthew going, this happened so that it was fulfilled, which was written. And he's constantly taking the reader back to the prophecies of the Old Testament. So I'm reading along. And I get to Matthew chapter 10, and this passage absolutely revolutionized my understanding of what I was getting into. It radically shaped my Christian life, and it still does 45 years later. And I was reading this in my devotions a week ago, and I was so moved by it again that the Lord, I said, what do you think, Lord? And the Lord said, look, before we go back to Genesis, you need to share this with the people at McLean Bible Church. And so that's what we're going to do today. You ready? Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 10, the background here is that Jesus is sending his disciples out to preach the gospel to the people of Israel, and he warns them of the kind of reception that they're going to receive, not just on this outing, but for the rest of their lives if they remain loyal to him. So here we go, verse 17. Beware of men, Jesus said, for they will deliver you up to their courts and beat you in their synagogues. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Whoever confesses me before men, Jesus said, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. And you say, well, wait a minute. Of course Jesus came to bring peace on the earth. I mean, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 calls him the Prince of Peace. In Zechariah chapter 9, it says that Jesus will speak peace to all nations. But Jesus said, yeah, that's true, but that's at my second coming. And my first coming, I'm not coming to speak peace to all nations. No, in this age, between the first and second coming, Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. In this age, Jesus says, I'm going to be a divisive issue because some people are going to believe in me and some people aren't. In this age, I'm going to drive people apart because of that. And then Jesus goes on to say, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. Now watch. But he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, as a brand new believer in Christ, these verses were a clarion call on my life, calling me to a life of total devotion to Jesus, calling me to a life of courageous loyalty to Jesus, calling me to a life of all-out commitment to Jesus, calling me to either be all in or not in at all. See, the man who led me to Christ, Bob Eckhart, he didn't offer me any middle ground when it came to putting my faith in Christ. Friends, he didn't offer me any kind of half-in Christianity. He said to me, Lon, either you get in 100% or don't get in at all. And this is exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. Now, you know, many of our brothers and sisters around the world today, they get this. Brothers and sisters in the Middle East and in Egypt and in Nigeria and in Pakistan and in Mali and many other places. I mean, in these locations, people are losing their homes. People are having their churches blown up. Pastors are being slaughtered. Men are being murdered. Women are being raped. Young girls are being kidnapped and sold. Young children are having their heads cut off, all because they will not deny Christ. These Christians, they understand Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10. They understand the kind of Christianity that Jesus is calling us to in this chapter. And Jesus said, John 16, 2, yes, the time is coming when whoever kills one of you will think that he's offering God a service. And with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab in Somalia and the Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt and Mujao in Mali. Friends, these people, when they kill a Christian, they believe they're offering their God a service, just like Jesus said. And so, Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 10, if you decide you're going to be a follower of mine in the 21st century, hey, you need to understand, you are going increasingly to pay a price. You better be all in. Now, that's as far as we want to go in Matthew chapter 10, but we want to stop and we want to answer our most important question. So, are you ready?
Ready.
You sure?
Yeah.
Everybody. All right, nice and loud. Here we go. One, two, three. Not that good. One, two, three. Much better. Much better. Hey, you say, Lon, I appreciate what you're saying. But really, what difference does this make to my life? Well, you know, when I came to Christ, my parents were embarrassed to claim me. My uncle, when I told him I believed in Jesus, said, oh, so now it's you and Adolf Hitler. I'm like, Adolf Hitler? What's he got to do with anything? My uncle said, well, he wasn't Jewish and he wasn't Muslim, so therefore he was Christian. I'm like, what? Adolf Hitler was not a Christian? Adolf Hitler was a Gentile. He was a bad Gentile, but he was a Gentile. He was not a Christian. My uncle, for the most part, never spoke to me again. All my drug buddies avoided me. My fraternity brothers all thought I'd lost my mind. My girlfriend of many years there at Chapel Hill in University of North Carolina, this is a woman that I got pregnant and I forced her to have an abortion. And she kept asking me for years to please marry her, please marry her. When I finally got saved, I asked her to marry me and she turned me down. Yeah. She said, I don't want to be married to you with all this new Jesus stuff you're into. I'm like, what? How many times did you ask me to marry you? She didn't want me. In fact, I had a lady walk up to me in the lobby last year, and she said to me, you know, of course, that you are the most hated Jew in Washington, right? I said, well, I really didn't know that till you told me, but okay. Friends, it's still going on to this very day, 45 years later. Now listen, I am certainly not comparing the little bit of suffering I've been through for being a Christian with the suffering our brothers and sisters around the world are going through today. But what I went through to stand for Christ was still hard. And what I went through still hurts, even to this day. But you know what I did? Every time something like that happened, I went back to Matthew chapter 10. And I reread the words of Jesus. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And I decided in every single instance that my mother could not give me eternal life. My father could not give me eternal life. My uncle could not give me eternal life. My fraternity brothers could not give me eternal life. My drug buddies could not give me eternal life. My girlfriend could not give me eternal life. And no rabbi in Washington today can give me eternal life. Only Jesus can. I'm sticking with him. Praise the Lord. And regardless of the price I have to pay, I'm sticking with him. Jesus said, John chapter 6, to the disciples, "Do you also want to go away?" And then Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So friends, that brings us to the point where all of us need to make a decision. Either we're going to be an all-in for Jesus Christian, or we're not. Either we're going to confess Jesus before men, or we're not. Either we're going to love Jesus more than our father, our mother, our son, our daughter, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, or we're not. Either we're going to fear God and not man, or we're not. Either we're going to carry the cross that Jesus ordains for us, or we're not. Either we're going to pay any price that Jesus asks us to pay, or we're not. A decision you got to make. You know, I mentioned my college girlfriend earlier, and she came from a Christian family. Her family attended church every single week. And when she met me at Chapel Hill, as we were students there together, she was about as pure and unspotted as any young lady could be. I led her into partying hard. I led her into drinking hard. I led her into smoking. I led her into doing dope. I led her into dropping LSD. I led her into becoming sexually active with me. I led her into getting pregnant. And I forced her to have an abortion. And when I finally came to Christ, and I realized now, with the Holy Spirit in me, the awful things I had done to this young lady. Horrible. I went back to her, and I said to her, I said, "You know what? All those years, I was blind spiritually. All those years, I was lost spiritually. I didn't know right from wrong spiritually, but you did. You knew right from wrong. You knew what we were doing was sin. Why did you do this?" And I'll never forget the words she said to me. They're embedded in my mind. She said, "Because I made the decision that I wanted you more than I wanted God." I didn't even know what to say. Knowing Christ now, I was speechless. And I said to her, "How foolish. How foolish can you be? You wanted me over God? You knew God, and yet you were willing to throw God away from me? Look what I did to you. Look what happened to you. Don't you understand that if you'd have stuck with God," I'm not denying I did all those things. I'm not blaming you. I'm just simply saying if you had kept God first in your life, you never would have gone out with me. You never would have gotten near me. And all of these things that have damaged and hurt your life would never have happened. I don't know. I was blown away that she would make a statement like that. You know, folks, when we decide to put anything ahead of the Lord Jesus in our life, we're headed for trouble. This young lady breaks my heart what I did to her. I mean, if I could go back and change it, I would. I apologized, but that didn't make up for all the damage. And so many times I've remembered her words and said, Lord, that's what happens when we're not all in with you. My friends, I'm here to beg you today. I'm here to plead with you and challenge you today to be an all-in Christian. Not 50% in, not 30% in, not even 90% in. All in. And if your mother doesn't like it, your brother doesn't like it, your father doesn't like it, your boyfriend doesn't like it, your girlfriend doesn't like it, your friends at school don't like it, you know what? You stick with Jesus. You stick with Jesus. And when all the dust clears, you'll be glad you stuck with Jesus. Trust me. And you will avoid so much heartache in this life by sticking with Jesus and not letting some person like me, before I was saved, hurt and damage you. Stay with the Lord. Now, I want to tell you in closing, I haven't always gotten it right. I don't want you to think I have. But even when I got it wrong, it was still the deep and genuine desire of my heart from the day I got saved to be all in for Jesus. Folks, that's what the Lord wants. He'll forgive you when you're not perfect. But that commitment has got to be there if you want God to honor and bless and protect your life. I call you to that commitment. Let's pray together. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to give you just a moment. If you're already all in for Jesus, then this is a good moment to just reaffirm it. And if you're not, this is a good moment to establish that. And if it means you got to walk away from a boyfriend, a girlfriend, if you've got to walk away from some acquaintances, if you've got to walk away from a job, if you've got to walk away from your parents, I don't care. Jesus comes first. And I hope you can make that decision today. If you need to, take a moment and let's talk to the Lord right now. Dear Lord Jesus, may the words of Matthew 10 ring in our souls for the rest of our lives. He who confesses me before man, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. He who denies me before man, him I will deny before my Father in heaven. He who loves mother or father, sister or brother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Lord, that's defining it pure and simple. We're either all in, or really, we shouldn't even be in at all. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us the courage to be these kind of followers of yours, as our brothers and sisters are in so many places around the world. Help us not be American Christians. Help us be biblical Christians. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.